Ooh, let me make the. I need to shoot the donut shot. Okay, donuts or waffles?
Waffles!
Raise your hand.
Donuts.
Waffles. Donuts. Oh, okay, donuts wins. So if I make this shot, we've got donuts next Sunday.
I gotta get it.
No, that doesn't work. It makes it flat. Okay.
Now, I'm gonna be quiet.
Okay. I was closer for a service, for the record. Oh, man. You just made me look good. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you got it, say, got it. You don't even have your Bibles open. Row 2 is disqualified. Wait, how many? I only heard like one person say, got it. You got it, say, got it. Okay, good job. We're talking about the Holy Ghost today. Okay, let's all stand on our feet. Remember, no phones during service. Yes, sir. A dude named TJ? How do you know TJ's not a girl? Could be a dudette named TJ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 10. I'm going to start reading it. Okay. Shh. That's Chronicles. That's opposite side of the Bible. Okay, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Dear Lord, we thank you that we are able to come together today and study your word. And we pray that it will have a lasting impact in our lives, Lord. Whether we just had a really good week or whether it was a little rough, that we would get back on focus with you. That we would set our heart on you and on the things of you. And surrender this coming week to you and surrender ourselves to you afresh. We pray that you would fill us all with your Spirit to understand all of this as much as we possibly can. Please speak through me to your people and help us to just take away as much as we can from this teaching. We pray all of this in your name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. So I want to catch you up because we took a break last week because we had insomnia and I was really tired. And so I didn't prep a teaching last week. So it's been a while since we've been in our series through 1 Corinthians. We're calling it FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. And it's just taking an in-depth look at what Paul instructs the church of Corinthians. So let me catch you up to what we've looked at in chapter 2 thus far. First, we looked at the importance of explaining and sharing the gospel in a simple, clear way. We saw that it doesn't need our fancy words and that it doesn't need our high intelligence. When we share the gospel, the best thing to do is let it be what it is and then just share it. Share it in its own strength. We saw that the gospel is strong enough to stand on its own, and if we can just get ourselves kind of out of the way and let it speak for itself, it is going to be incredibly effective. Then we looked, not last week, but the week before, we looked at the difference between secular education and spiritual wisdom. And we saw that the two really shouldn't be separated, but we should see the two as almost like coming together in a harmony. Like, you know, two people singing, they are singing different parts of a song, but they sound perfect together, and that's harmony. And our secular education, what we learn in school, in the textbooks, and about writing and correcting, that's going to help us when we take it to the Word of God, when we take it to explaining our feelings that we have. The smarter we get, the better we're going to be at talking to people and understanding people and understanding God's Word. And then also our spiritual wisdom is going to help us interpret the things of God's Word. It's going to help us apply the things that we learn in God's Word. And the two are just going to help us out in both ways. So we saw that though school is hard, and I do not like school, but it is important, not just because of grades and stuff, but also because of stuff, but also because it is just going to help you out in the long run with your walk with God and with your relationships with other people. Now Paul takes a shift. He shifts gears, if you will. Does anybody drive stick shift? Just kidding. It was a joke. Paul takes a shift, and this is where we're at today. And he focuses on the Spirit and how the Spirit helps us learn and know different things. So I titled this teaching "The Holy Ghost" because, like, we're getting close to Halloween. And in the Bible, they call the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. And I thought that was really cool. So, yeah. But in verse 14 of our passage, Paul calls the people that do not have the Holy Spirit in them, he calls them natural people. So what it kind of sounds like is that as Christians with the Holy Spirit in us, like, we're kind of like mutants. You know, like X-Men? Like, we have this superpower, kind of like a Spidey sense, if you will. You guys know the Spidey sense, like Spider-Man, something's going on behind him, and he's like, my Spidey sense is tingling. And then he's like, and he saves everything in one split second. That's a Spidey sense. That's the only reason I like Marvel. Like, Spider-Man's the only reason. Not just Spidey sense, but Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man's the best superhero. Yes. And Batman. But Spider-Man is so well done. It's just so good. But we're going to see that our success as Christians is really deeply rooted in the Holy Spirit. And we would not be successful without the power of the Holy Spirit. It'd basically be impossible to grow, to understand certain things, to display some of the abilities that the Holy Spirit gives us, to experience some of the things that God has for us as Christians. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not have access to those things. I'm almost certain that as Christians, we would basically burn out and die off if we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. So it's a really important thing. And I don't want to just jump the gun, and start talking about the Holy Spirit and how it helps us learn and know things without us first having gotten to know the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to basically look at a profile of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys know what a profile is? Does anybody, like, or to profile something, a verb? Wow, so many. Okay. Serafina, give a swing at it. Facebook, I mean, that kind of works. Well, explain it to me, because it's a word we use all the time, but it's like, okay. Yeah. A what? Identification. Yeah. Yes, that's pretty good. I like that. So a profile is something, by definition, it's to describe something in an article. So that's when I say I'm going to profile, it means like in a couple of pages, I'm going to describe something really deeply and plainly. So our Facebook profile does that, right? We log on to our Facebook, we get our best looking picture, we tell people that we like bench press 450 pounds, and that like we drink coffee every day, even though we don't, and like that we really are good at art and stuff. Like we always do the best on our Facebook profile so that people are like, oh, this person's really good. This person's really good at life. And it's just, it's what we do. A lot of times our Facebook profile is not a true representation of us, but we're trying to show people what we're about, who we are. It's sometimes exaggerated. But the Bible gives us a profile of the Holy Spirit where we can look at it, kind of just breeze through it, and see this is who the Holy Spirit is. So our main focus today is simply that we're going to get to know the Holy Spirit. And for some of you, you're like, Holy Spirit, I've known about the Holy Spirit the whole time. That's your response. Holy Spirit, I've known about it the whole time. But even if you've known about it the whole time, we're going to go deeper. We're going to go a little deeper than what most of us already know. And we're going to, beyond what we know just about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're going to try to dive deep. We're going to get deep in that profile and get to know the Holy Spirit as a person. So first, we're going to look at, if you're taking notes, you can jot these down. Who is the Holy Spirit? Sounds so simple, but maybe it's not. No, I'm just kidding. It's pretty simple. So who is the Holy Spirit? Two, what can the Holy Spirit do? What can he do? And then three, how does the Holy Spirit work? So, who is the Holy Spirit, what can he do, and how does he work? So, we're going to start off with who is the Holy Spirit. So, obviously you all know he's a member of the Trinity. And in general, we refer to him as the third member of the Trinity. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And to kind of explain that, the Father is basically like the planner. So the Father's in heaven, seated on the throne, planning things. He's the one who put everything into motion. He put creation into motion. He put this plan of needing a Savior and relying on him and all this working out in the end and Revelation and all that. And then we have Jesus, who is the mediator, if you will. He's the provider who made a way for man to get to God. And he's interceding for us so that we have access to the Father. And then we have the Spirit, who's right here with us. And he's like our helper. That's a lot of times in Scripture, that's how they describe the Spirit, as a helper. Almost like what we call a personal assistant. You know, like Siri on your phone? They call that a personal assistant. The Holy Spirit's way better than Siri, I promise. It is that person that is here to help us, here to guide us through life, here to show us which way to go, which way not to go. And just as the Father is a person and the Son is a person, the Father is God and the Son is Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a person. So when we speak of the Holy Spirit, we should not say it, but we should say he. And this is going to be like a pet peeve for me from now on. If you're like, the Holy Spirit, it's doing incredible things in my life, I'm going to be like, no, it's not an it. It's a he. He's a he. The Holy Spirit is a he. And just as every aspect of the Trinity is masculine, just like God is masculine, Jesus is masculine, the Holy Spirit is masculine. So when we speak of the Holy Spirit, we say he. And the Holy Spirit is just as important as every other aspect of the Trinity. So we have like a lot of songs about Jesus and a lot of songs about God, but until recently, we haven't had a lot of songs that are just sung straight to the Holy Spirit. And now we have like the one, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, you know? And it's really good because we're starting to focus that the Holy Spirit is fully God and just as important. When you pray, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. Like we say, dear Jesus, dear God, you can say, dear Holy Spirit, How's it going? Can you help me out here? Can you show me the way to go? The Holy Spirit is fully God and just as important, and you can pray straight to Him. It's really cool, and we don't do it often because we have kind of dear Father, dear God, dear Jesus. But you can also say, dear Holy Spirit, and you're praying to God because the Holy Spirit is God. Now, here's what's interesting. This is where we're going to get a little deeper in who the Holy Spirit is. We're going to dive a little bit deeper. The ministry of the Holy Spirit changed after Jesus ascended into heaven. So John 14, verse 25 through 26 says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So, once Jesus ascended from heaven, ascended from earth into heaven, the Holy Spirit and him, they kind of like switched spots. The Holy Spirit was now focused on each Christian's individual life, and when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit indwelt in your heart. He came into your life and became a part of you and entered your heart, and that is the moment that you were saved. So we don't know exactly what happened, but we know that when Jesus ascended into heaven, the role of the Holy Spirit really transformed to where he was personally involved with every single Christian, going with them and through life with them every day, everywhere, all the time. And he is there, as verse 26 of John 14 says, to remind us of the things and bring to remembrance those things that Jesus told the disciples, that he taught to them. So that shows us who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a he. And I'm going to be strict about that. Don't come talking to me about it. You got to tell me he. It's going to be like my new pet peeve. If you say it, I'm going to be like, ah! Ah! That's what I'm going to do if you say it. I'm just going to, ah! Never can you say it again. So that's who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is He. The Holy Spirit is someone we should sing to all the time because He's doing incredible things in our lives. So that brings us to our next point. What can the Holy Spirit do? And there's something I need to explain. That though all Christians are now indwelled by the Holy Spirit, this is what happened when Jesus ascended, it does not mean that every Christian in that moment of being saved is baptized in the Holy Spirit. But once people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that is when you receive the true power of the Holy Spirit, a power that is beyond your own. Acts 1 verse 18, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And that's speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's something that does happen for some people when they accept the Lord into their heart, and then for others, it's something that they end up praying for later, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they receive this power that is later in chapter 2 described with the disciples when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." So what you had here is the disciples, though they had the Holy Spirit in their hearts, they were then baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in languages they didn't know. So this is like growing up in Modesto, never going to a Chinese restaurant, and all of a sudden you're like speaking Cantonese. You're like, "Ding no da wa kao," and you don't know the language, and you're speaking it fluently. You walk into a Chinese restaurant and you're like, you're speaking the language. I don't speak the language, so I don't know. But all I know is that it does not sound like English. But what's crazy is they're speaking in these languages that they did not know previously. And they, yes. Oh, it was like everybody. Whoa, that's crazy. And that is something the Holy Spirit can do. He can allow you to understand languages you don't understand and speak languages you don't speak. And the disciples, in this moment, where people are looking at them like they're crazy, they end up leading 3,000 people to the Lord. That's crazy! 3,000 people! That is like, you know, the seats we have downstairs, that's double that. Double. Yes, that's insane! It blows my mind. I think it's like 1,494. I know, that was pretty exact. There's a max occupancy, I think it's like 1,400. There's two main ways that the Holy Spirit works. And that is in what we receive and in what we produce. Let me kind of explain that a little further. So to receive, that means the Holy Spirit allows us to intake things that are beyond our own strength. So we're able to understand things that apart from the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't be able to understand. Maybe language, or maybe it's like an aspect of the Trinity that without Him living in our hearts and being baptized by Him, we're not able to understand that. Maybe it's creation or eternity or faith, something that's really tough to understand. But with the Holy Spirit, we're able to. And then He allows us to experience things that God has for us. And apart from the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to experience those things that God desires us to experience. But we don't only receive things in a more powerful way with the Holy Spirit, but we produce things in a more powerful way. And this is when we're able to do things that are beyond our own strength, do things that we wouldn't be able to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. It can be speaking in a language that's not your own. It can be healing someone of a disease. It can be witnessing to someone, like sharing the gospel with someone that you thought you would never even be able to talk to. Like maybe they look really tough, or they look really scary, or they like are from another culture and you don't quite understand them. But the Spirit allows us to do these incredible things. He allows us to display the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. On rhythm. But he allows us to display the fruits of the Spirit. And we can only display that naturally by being baptized by the Holy Spirit. You can do it on your own. You can look happy, look like you've got joy, and you've got peace, and that you're super gentle, like you go through life with just gentleness, you're just like, da-da, da-da-da. But it's not going to be genuine, and it will eventually lead to being burnt out, because the Holy Spirit is what's going to keep you going when you can't do it on your own anymore. The Holy Spirit is what allows us to possess spiritual gifts, to display spiritual gifts, like speaking in tongues, prophecy. And we're going to get into these way more in depth when we get to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. So I'm not going to talk about that much now. But without being baptized by the Holy Spirit, you cannot display spiritual gifts. So it's a really important thing. And it allows us to receive these things that are beyond ourselves, and then to produce these things that are beyond our own strength. It really is like a spidey sense. That's why Paul calls people without the Holy Spirit natural people. They don't have this mutant gene where we're like busting out like claws and stuff. We're not like that, but still pretty cool. So we see who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit can do. Now I want to just practically touch on how the Holy Spirit works. And really we see Him working in two main ways in our lives. And that's, He puts feelings in our hearts, and He also can put thoughts in our mind. And that might sound like a really similar thing, but I'm going to explain it. And they're actually two quite separate things. So putting feelings in our hearts is when you're about to do something that you like you shouldn't do. So maybe you're about to partake in a sin, maybe you're about to like tell a joke, but you know it's a bad joke, or you're about to do something with your friends that you know you shouldn't do, and right before you're about to do it, you get this feeling, and it's not a thought in your mind, it's just a feeling. I should not be doing this right now, and that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And then it works the opposite way. Have you ever, like, you're going through life, and you see, like, trash on the ground that's, like, 50 yards away, and you're like, I need to pick that up, and that's the Holy Spirit guiding you through life, telling you what you should do. And like, or you're like, you walk through the house and you see dishes that need to be washed. And normally if you're like me, you would just add to it. But suddenly you're like, oh my goodness, I need to wash these.
Yes.
And you can't explain it. There's nothing inside of you that's like, yes, dishes to wash. But it's the Holy Spirit saying, go talk to that person. Go do that. Go help out with that. And it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit putting this feeling inside of you. Yes, sir.
It's like, sometimes like, I need to mow the lawn, but...
Yeah, and you, sometimes you get the feeling, and then we disobey it. And you are literally, in that moment, you're disobeying God because you're being disobedient to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we just devalue it, like I'm just not paying attention to my feelings. I'm just ignoring my emotions today. But when it's really the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we have disobeyed God. When we see that trash and go, I need to pick it up, but I'm hungry, and then we don't do it, we have disobeyed God because we've disobeyed the Holy Spirit. So he puts these feelings in our hearts, but then he also puts thoughts in our minds. And here's what's interesting about this. When we turn about 3 or 4, your mind starts working with words. So your mind doesn't just have ideas and then you speak words. There's a whole part of your mind, a whole side that uses vocabulary, the English language for most of you, maybe some of you it's Spanish or another language that you grew up in. And your mind uses that language to organize everything. And it starts doing it about the age of 3 or 4. That's why you can only remember to about that time, because you haven't started coding things with words. And so the Holy Spirit can use that to literally put words in our minds. Isn't that crazy? So here's an example. Someone's talking to you about something they did the other day, or something they're thinking of doing, and then this verse comes to your mind. You don't know where it is in the Bible, you don't know who said it, why they said it, and how they said it, but you're just like, this is in the Bible, and you should not do that because of this, or you totally should do that because this is what the Bible says. You don't know where it came from, it's just the Holy Spirit putting those words in your mind, and then you're able to express them. I think it's so crazy. That's incredible. So he can put these words in our minds, and he can put full messages in our minds that we're able to share with people and communicate toward people. I think that's really cool. So the Holy Spirit, he guides us through this world with feelings, and it's an incredible thing. We'll go one way, and then we get this feeling like, oh no, I should not be doing that. And the Holy Spirit directs us this way and says, oh yes, you should be. Or we'll be talking to someone or about to pray something, and these words come to our mind that we would have never thought of before, but it's just the Holy Spirit bringing it to remembrance in our mind. So now, as we come to a close, I want to just look back at the anointing or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's a very important aspect in the life of a Christian. Because without it, you can definitely be saved. There's nowhere in Scripture that says without the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you're unsaved. But it's definitely more of a challenge without that baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's more challenging to interpret God's Word. Maybe right now you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you sit down to read God's Word and you try to get as much as you can, but it's just tough. It's just tough to sit down and read and focus on it. And it's because you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you're struggling with a sin and you want to stop doing it. You know you should stop doing it, but it is just difficult because you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you don't have the Holy Spirit guiding you right there, giving you power and strength that is beyond your own to get through this. And so I think it's important to ask yourself, maybe some of you, when you accepted the Lord, right in that moment, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you were like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But maybe some of you, you accepted the Lord, and you didn't receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit. You didn't receive that power that is beyond your own. And I think it's important for you to examine your life, to see If there's parts that you're struggling in, maybe you're trying to display the fruits of the Spirit. You know you should be loving, and you should be joyful, and when hard times come, you should be peaceful. But as hard as you try on your own, it is tough. And it is tearing you apart, and that is life. That's how it is without the Holy Spirit. We can do it on our own, but it's so difficult. So, coming to a close, I just want us all to bow our heads and to close our eyes and take a minute to examine your life and ask yourself, have you prayed to receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit? And it is really as easy as that, as saying, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would baptize me with the Holy Spirit and take control of my life. And I don't want to go through this on my own anymore. And it's difficult. It's wearing me out. Like I talked about toward the beginning, without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians, we can get to a place that we're burning out. And if we burn out so much, eventually we'll just want to give up because it's so difficult on your own. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, just examine your life. And then I'll ask you to raise your hand if you feel that you need that baptism of the Holy Spirit. You haven't had it yet. And it's nothing weird. I'm not going to like make you stand and like give a speech about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it's something that as you grow as a Christian, as you mature as a Christian, that is really going to help you. That power of the Holy Spirit is going to change things for you. So examine your life and then just raise your hand if you desire that baptism of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you as we go from this place, to continue asking yourself that question. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And it's never too late to say, it's literally never ever too late to say, just in a prayer, Lord, please baptize me in your Holy Spirit. And it will change your life. And it changed the life of the disciples, people who spent time with Jesus, who knew his word very well. But when they received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, something changed. Now, before we close, I want to touch on one more thing, and that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something happens in our lives where it kind of drains out. The more we interact with people, the more we're pouring ourselves out in love and in grace, it starts to kind of drain, and our flesh starts to kind of take over in our lives. So as Christians, we need to be constantly asking for that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to keep seeking after that fresh filling. When you, like me, literally, when I go into tests, I'm like, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because I feel like the Holy Spirit might help me out on some test questions. Literally, that is how I feel. And so it's important as you go through life, as maybe you're going into a hard situation. Before service, when we're praying, we always say, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Even if we just did a service before this, we say fill us afresh because we know this service has different needs. This service has a different focus. You guys are totally different kids, and the Lord is going to lead us in a totally different way to lead worship for you and to teach for you and to lead you as leaders. And so, as I close in prayer, I'm going to pray just for all of us to be freshly filled with the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you to agree with that prayer. You don't have to But that's like my prayer agree. But do just pray it in your heart to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And as you continue to go on with your walk with God, when you feel like your flesh creeping up, and you feel that maybe you're more tempted than usual, ask for that fresh filling. Maybe you just need to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit and then surrender afresh to Him. Because sometimes we get focused on other things. We get distracted. And then we just need to set our mind and our focus back on the Holy Spirit. This is why we have church. So that when we come here Sunday, no matter what's going on in your week, you can come amongst other believers so they can hold you accountable, and you can say, I'm going to resurrender to Jesus. I'm going to refocus, re-ask for that fresh filling, and surrender my life to Him. And keep surrendering and keep walking with Him. So let me close in prayer, and then we've got goodies in the back, so don't just run away, because we've got like muffins and cookies and stuff. Oh, Adam ate them all. Yeah, let me pray for us. Dear Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us afresh with yourself, Lord. So often we get focused on other things, we run out, and we get our flesh starts to kind of take over again. But we ask that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill every junior higher in this room, our leaders, with your Holy Spirit. We need Him to guide us through every decision we make, everything that we do, everything that we say. And so we ask for that fresh filling. Help us to follow the Holy Spirit everywhere He leads us with these feelings and thoughts in our minds. And help us to glean and learn as much as we can from Him. We pray that you would bless this food to our bodies. We thank you for providing it for us, and we pray that you would just go before us the rest of this week, be in everything that we say and everything that we do. We want to bring glory to you in all of that. We pray all this in your name, and all of God's people said, hey, to the men. That's what I said.